Blog Talk Radio.
Attention, Army Wives, fall in. You've come to the right place. Army Wife Talk Radio is the leading and longest running podcast of its kind, providing the latest reports, stories, interviews, and more to encourage and empower you on your military spouse journey. For Army Wives, by Army Wives. Now, here are your hosts, the Army Wife Network core team.
Welcome to the show. We're so glad you could join us today. I'm your host, Sherita Knobloch. You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network core team. This is show number 647, and today is Monday, April 30th, 2018.
And I'm your co-host, Caroline Schaefer. We have a great show planned for you this evening. Our featured guest tonight is author, actress, and sports performance coach, Karen Goler. Karen will talk with us about health and fitness for the busy military spouse. You can connect with Karen Goler on social media, on Facebook, Swing Set Fitness, on LinkedIn at Karen Goler, Twitter at Karen Goler, or visit her website, www.karengoler.com. Also coming up in just a few minutes, our News 6 Charlotte will be calling in with your need-to-know news.
If you're listening to our show live right now, we'd love for you to join us on our show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. You can comment on the show, ask questions of our guests, or just hang out and chat with our AWN core team. Head on over to twitter.com/ArmyWife Network and be sure to use the hashtag ArmyWife to participate. All the links mentioned in the show tonight will be posted in the comments section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com.
Tonight's show is brought to you by your AWN core team. We are a dedicated group of volunteers who are passionate about empowering you in this military life. You can get to know each of us through our bios on ArmyWifeNetwork.com, or you can follow each of us individually on Twitter. That gives you kind of that get a behind-the-scenes look into our Army lives, too, because we're just like you.
Well, Caroline, I'm excited to host with you again tonight. I think we did a few weeks ago, but I would love to just catch up a little bit before we move on with the show. So share with our listeners what's going on in your world.
Sure. Yeah, I had a great time hosting with you as well. It's always This is our second time, and I'm really excited about tonight, too. So what's been going on in my life? We had an unfortunate event. We lost a good friend of ours. He was a soldier with my husband. And we kind of had some insight to the things you need to do because, you know, no one really, I personally don't like to do my will or anything like that, but it really gave us an opportunity to see how important it was to have one because our friend, as far as we know, we never found one. So it was important to we came home and we're like, okay, we need to get all our ducks in a row. And then it showed to us too how important connection with those that we love is and different ways to reach out because I think, like for me, I love to write letters still. If I can have pen pals, I would have a bazillion of them because I still write to my mom and she calls me 3-4 times a week, but we still write letters.
That's
because
really cool.
It's fun to have those things, I think, to look back on. And when you find them and you're like, oh, I forgot, you know, we wrote letters 5 years ago and it's just another way to kind of stay connected because we have social media today and, you know, 20-some years ago, we didn't really have that. So
right.
I treasure that kind of, you know, the pen pal. I love it. It's super fun to
I'm right there with you. Like, I'm old school. I just feel like there's something really special about getting a piece of snail mail that you can hold and touch and, like, something tangible because social media is so fleeting, you know. I don't have Snapchat because I'm like, as far as I understand Snapchat, like you do something and then it goes away. And I was like, what's the point? Like, you know, my favorite part of Facebook is seeing the memories. And so, you know, having those tangible things that we can touch. Right now I'm, you know, one of my God-sized dreams last year and then again this year is sending, you know, snail mail encouragement to specific people once a week, you know, or once a month or whatever for an entire year. And it's amazing how the relationships grow or strengthen or how people are encouraged by that. And it's funny because when I send it, you'd think like, oh, this other person that's receiving it is going to be so blessed. And, you know, they may or may not be. But when I send it, it blesses me. Like, I'm so excited, you know, to get the card in the mail and put the little flag up on the mailbox or have my daughter drop it in the mailbox at the post office. So, I understand the importance of keeping in touch and really, you know, really treasuring those moments because, unfortunately, it's, you know, no secret, life is really unpredictable and there's just really hard stuff that we have to face. So, you know, my my sincerest condolences and sympathies on you and your husband's loss as well as to your friend's parents and whatnot.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, so that's kind of what's been going on in my life. What about you? Did you guys have stuff coming up and has your husband been somewhere? I'm trying to keep up with everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm all over the place today. We are T-minus 2 weeks out from the movers showing up for a PCS. So it's, like, super exciting and also kind of just makes me a little squirrely, like, hurry up and wait. Like, we're ready, but we're not. Mm-hmm. So my husband's family came into town this weekend. They came in Thursday afternoon, and they flew in from South Dakota. His mom and his dad and his aunt, all amazing. So I'm sorry to all you people, all you wonderful listeners out there who don't get along with your in-laws. I'm super sorry, but mine are themom.com. Like, we have such a good time.
Awesome.
They grandparent so hard. You know, they just rock it out with the kids, and it's so great. So they came down for the Camp DeMerrill Ranger open house this weekend. Tons
cool.
of events. Mountaineering, you know, mountaineering demos, reptile demos for the reptiles from swamp phase of ranger school, and then the rangers in action with the jumping out of the helicopters and medevac demo and the hand-to-hand combat demonstration, just a lot of really fun stuff for the whole family. So we did that, and I ran the Ranger 5K race, which went really well, but I should have known that if a ranger instructor is going to plan the 5K, it's not going to be 3.1 miles. It's going to be 4 miles with 500 feet of elevation gain and 2 water crossings.
Wow.
So that was a fun surprise. I was like, oh, I'm not prepared, but I'm committed. We're doing this. So.
Well, congratulations on completing that. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't break my face. I was pretty pumped for that. So no face breakage. Didn't fall down the mountain, and didn't a lot of the families that were running the 5K, the kids like 9, 10, 11 years old, they would cross the little creek or whatever, and they would step right in the middle of it because they just had to because it was too wide, and then their foot would get stuck.
Yeah.
And so their shoe would come off. So I was on shoe mud rescue detail a couple of times, and I was really. Yeah, and then I was really thrilled that I wasn't lost because after the 3.1 clicked away, I was like, okay, maybe it's 3.25, you know, I'm running back and forth, whatever, and then it was like 3.2, 3.3, 3.4. I was like, oh, I don't see the finish line anywhere. So I started asking people, this is still the 5K, right? Like, I didn't get accidentally on the 15K. They're like, yeah, I think so. Somebody said it was closer to 4 miles. I was like, oh. Well, okay then. I should have paced myself differently, but it's okay. So, yeah,
it was
a really fun time. I honestly was really skeptical that, you know, having a miniature vacation as I try to finish this class for my doctorate and get ready to PCS, I thought that a mini vacation would be hard to vacation, but really it was perfectly well-timed. Just, you know, to pull me out of, like, my serious, intense focus for a minute to be like, okay, chillax, have a little bit of fun, and then, you know, starting tomorrow, like, lay the smack down, crank out this last research paper, organize the rest of the things and purge the cabinets and, you know, finish checking off my big old flip chart.
Your notebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my big thing, get my notebook out and get ready to rock and roll to Texas. So, yeah.
That's crazy to think about. That's in 2 weeks, too.
Yeah, and it seems
that's
like
exciting.
Forever, but yet tomorrow it's a very weird thing, you know. So
yeah,
but we'll get there, and
yeah.
We're ready. We're ready for the new adventure at Fort Bliss. We're ready to get out there and get a house and get settled. So, but that's enough about me tonight. But
okay.
let's go ahead and change gears just a little, so we can stay
sure.
on track, and let's find out what's going on at Army Wife Network this week. We've got a lot of cool stuff in the docket. So hot on our blog this week is the blog called Snoring is the Sweetest Sound by our experienced blogger, Sarah Ann Hoyt. Sarah Ann shares how her husband, Big Sarge, is a snorer. And while she's not one who sleeps well, his snoring does mean that he's home, which is why she loves it. And you can read the rest of Sarah's story by heading over to our blog at armywifenetwork.com. And just look for her post, Snoring is the Sweetest Sound. So, Caroline, what's the snoring situation at your home? Either you or your husband snore, or do you have something that is almost kind of annoying but comforting to show that he's, like, here, and so you can be excited about that?
Well, that's a good question. Well, neither one of us are snorers unless we have a cold, but...
Mm.
What I was going to say, the only snorer currently living in our house, and she's laying here right here by me, is my 12-year-old beagle. So I'm surprised that it's not picking it up, but it's just to be wherever I am. Well, gosh, what does he, I love my husband. I do. And he tends to be what I call a dropper. Although I found that I'm starting to, because when he's not here, and especially now that it's just me and the dog, I like
mm-hmm.
to keep things picked up. Or
yep.
I guess what I'm noticing now is when it's just me, I only notice my stuff. But when he's here, kind of the sock here and the whatever, the
yep.
shoe here, it used to annoy me. And sometimes I still kind of, you know, go, and then I'm like, but he's here. And
right.
that's always a better, that's the better option. Like he was at JRTC and it felt like forever. It did. It felt like forever, even though it was only a month. But, yeah, there were just the little things kind of, okay, well, I guess I'm good night, other side of the bed, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Know, things like that.
It's,
yeah, what about
I,
you?
I'm right there with,
are
you guys, yeah, I'm right there with
yeah.
you. Like, neither one of us, I don't think, are snorers either, unless I was apparently a crazy snorer when I was pregnant, but that makes sense because, like, I have a short torso and, like, the baby was taking up my entire body, so breathing was a challenge.
Right.
So, thankfully, I think that was a temporary issue. But I'm the same way. Like, you know, I get annoyed sometimes. Like, my husband is also a dropper. Like, he just comes in the door and dumps his stuff right inside. And I love him to death, but I'm just like, especially now that our toddler is into everything, you know, he's, like, digging through the assault pack and... You know,
sure.
I'm like, there goes the chem lights, there goes the 550 cord, he's chewing on the boot, like, ah. But, you know, when my husband is gone or deployed or working a crazy long shift, you know, I do realize I miss that. And I know there's a lot of military spouses out there right now that would give anything to be tripping over their husband's
right.
boots or opening the freezer and seeing a metal spoon poised on top of the ice cream container in combat-ready position, ready to devour the pint of ice cream.
Amazing.
My husband does that, and it blows my mind. I'm like, why? But then when he's not here, you know, I'm not putting silverware in the freezer. So,
right.
you know, it's sweet little reminders that he's here.
A little bit.
God bless him.
Yeah.
He's messy, but dang it, he's here, and I'm really grateful for that. So I'll go ahead and trip over the boots and take the chem light away from the baby one more time.
Sure.
So.
Great.
But yeah, Caroline, share with us a little bit more. What else is going on with Army Wife Network this week?
Well, we have there's another great blog this week called The Resiliency of the Military Child by Jackie Wardzinski. So Jackie is going to have her first set of kiddos. She's having twins. And she wrote about her and her husband as they're preparing to bring these babies into a military family lifestyle and what that looks like for her. So even though she knows that there will be many moves and challenges that non-military children have to face, she wholeheartedly believes that military children are smart, brave, and resilient, and one of a kind, which is just so exciting for her to have those babies and bring them into that. So, you know, that's being a military parent of military children does have its challenges, but also shows resiliency. So you were talking about your toddler chewing on boots. Are there other, is that a favorite part of being a military parent? Are there other parts of being a military parent that you can talk about that show resiliency and
things like that? You know, the chewing on the boot definitely helps build his immunity. So we got that going for us.
Definitely.
You know, both of my kids have done that in the past. And my daughter loves to smell my husband's feet. And then she's surprised that they stink, but that's a discussion for another day. She's five, and she's just so funny. Like, she loves taking off my husband's boots, and then she's like, can I smell your feet? He's like, okay. And I can smell them across the room. I don't understand it. But anyways, like, my kids, first of all, my kids are awesome. Yes, I'm totally biased. I get it. But I just think they're so cool and so great, even though they're challenging. But it's so cool. Like, it's weird that I'm probably the most high-strung out of everybody in the house. And it's funny when we're facing something like a PCS or, you know, a trip that's not going well or, you know, late bedtimes or whatever, my kids really are so resilient. Like, they just roll with it. And they're like, all right, this is what we're doing right now. And I'm over here, like, freaking out, thinking that the sky is falling because they didn't get to bed on time. And they're just like, well, I'm a little tired, but it's going to be all right. So, you know, in those moments of hard traveling or daddy's gone or whatever, I just watch my kids roll with the punches. And I'm like, man, when I grow up, I want to be like Karis and Malik. Like, they inspire me so much to just be chill and just be like, it's a good day. Like, we had cereal for supper, you know. A lot of moms would be like, man, I'm an epic fail because I just couldn't rally the gumption to feed my kids. And I feel like that sometimes. Like, oh, I should cook something that I'm probably not going to eat anyways. But I give them cereal, and they're like, best day ever. I'm like, oh, well, maybe I should be a little more chill. So, yeah. What about you, Caroline? Like,
sure. Well, I mean, when my husband joined, our oldest was nine, ten. He was better at remembering the years. They kind of, all the deployments blended like 8 years of our lives together. But the youngest, David, was four. The one who just turned 20 on Friday. I just want to say that. I have no more teenagers. No more teenagers.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. He doesn't remember. It wasn't the same for him as it was for our daughter. So a lot of times I'll hear of parents of toddlers, you know, and the husband comes back from deployments and the kid's having a hard time adjusting. He doesn't remember any of that. He still looks back and goes, it was cool. Dad was in the Army. He taught me to throw a pine cone and say, frag out. Which what are you teaching him how to throw a grenade? He's like, no, it's pine cone, dear. I'm like, well, but yeah, I mean, he thought it was cool. His dad's, and then one of my, there was, you know, when they put the boots on the wire, there's David was like five, and it's kind of that same, they just surprise you and they come up with just the greatest things and their outlook is so different. And one time Justin was at training just like two blocks from us, but he couldn't live with us and he had come home for lunch. And he had told David at one point, the boots on the wire means you're getting out of the Army. And as he's leaving from getting to see us, you know, he hadn't seen us in like 3 weeks or something. I don't even remember the time. He knows the story way better than I do. And David grabs onto his leg. He's like four. And he said, don't leave, Dad. Don't leave. Throw your boots on the wire. And I know, but the story is funny to David now. He's like, that's hilarious. You know, like, I don't even think he remembers doing it, but little things that they would just do that would just encourage us and go, oh, that's, you know, yeah, honey, that's being a grown-up now. And then they go off and play. You know, they don't stay in the sad. They go off and, okay, well, let me chase a lizard. That's pretty much what he was doing when he was a little boy. So,
yep.
Yeah.
That's the resiliency of a military child, just like the blog says. So
yes.
great recount. And so, listeners, if anyone would like to access these blogs of these hot topics that we're sharing with you tonight, all the links to everything we've talked about will be posted in our Twitter feed and in the comments section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com. It's now time for a short commercial break, but up next is our News 6 Charlotte bringing you your need-to-know news. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
Hi, everyone. It's Jack Black coming to you from the set of Jumanji.
We have to save Jumanji.
Libraries and librarians transform lives every day through digital literacy, discovery, and lifelong learning.
Let's go, people.
Yes!
There's no puzzle too tough or challenge too great.
We can help each other.
For your librarian, find the clues to solve your next quest at the library.
A message from the American Library Association's Libraries Transform campaign. And Jumanji, welcome to the jungle.
Life, our family, our soldier. News you can use. Now with our headlines, it's time for your Army Wife Talk Radio Live News 6 Report.
Welcome back, listeners. We have our News 6 Charlotte on the line bringing us your need-to-know news. Hey, Charlotte, what have you got for us this week?
This week's story is a reminder that with PCS season underway, when looking for that new rental home, always be cautious when searching online. Multiple states have issued warnings over the years to alert renters, but with military moving season and the increased demand for short-term housing, it's possible these scammers will be back with listings near military installations.
So Charlotte, should potential renters only be concerned with the advertisements that they find on websites such as the Craigslist?
Actually, there are many sites with scammers can use to target renters. Craigslist is the most widely known, but you can find rentals on many sites such as Facebook Marketplace, Apartment List, and Zumper, just to name a few.
So what makes the military such an easy target for scammers?
Well, because of the on-the-move nature of service members and their busy lifestyles, military families become easy targets. Plus, these scammers look for people who are too trusting or neglect to do their homework. Scammers also look to lure those with those less than great credit or who don't meet the income requirements.
So, Charlotte, what can military families do to recognize the fake advertisements and keep from being taken by these scams?
Well, the first thing to know is that fake ads go out of their way to cater to people who, for whatever reason, may not qualify for legitimate rentals. The ads may say something about the landlord not having an issue with a partial security deposit, or doesn't perform a credit check, or doesn't need proof of income or employment. If you see something like this, chances are it's not just a building owner being charitable to their renters. You need to play detective. Type the rental address into a web search, or if a photo is included, run it through a Google image search. This check will only take seconds and should serve two purposes. Make sure the photo isn't being used to advertise multiple addresses, which is a clear sign of a scam, and make sure the entire listing isn't cut and pasted from another rental or sales site. Realtor and Navy veteran Cassandra Rowley, who is based in the Seattle area, suggests if you're on Craigslist, be wary of homeowners claiming to be out of the country, especially if they ask you to send money before you see the home. Also make sure to watch your messages. Email addresses can be warning signs that the ad has been put together by someone claiming to be something else. If names don't match or if addresses don't look like they've been selected by a random letter generator, think twice. If they are calling or texting you, do a reverse number search and make sure the number doesn't pop up as a robocall number or has been reported as a scam by someone else. Most scammers are able to work their magic the best over email and phone. Always suggest an in-person meeting to show the property. Additionally, if you're looking for a rental at your next duty station, you have the option of finding a representative to view the property in your absence. If you can't figure out a way to have an on-site presence, despite being in a different time zone and a potential landlord cannot meet you, it's not a good sign. If you have concerns, you can contact the Housing Services Office at your new duty station. They can provide you with a list of verified rentals in the area. The most important thing is to not send money until you are sure it's a legitimate rental.
Well, Charlotte, thank you so much for bringing us this story. It's so helpful and very, very timely. Listeners, please stay tuned. After this short break, we will be talking with Karen Goller about health and fitness for the busy military spouse. We'll be right back.
Being around too much loud noise like a leaf blower or rock concert can cause permanent hearing loss. And once it's gone, you can't get it back. Hearing loss is the third most common chronic health condition in the U.S. Almost twice as many people report hearing loss as diabetes or cancer. The louder a sound is, and the longer you're exposed to it, the more likely it will damage your hearing. Repeated exposure to noise can cause stress, anxiety, depression, high blood pressure, heart disease, and many other problems. Hearing loss from loud noise at home and in the community can be prevented. Avoid noisy places. Use earplugs, protective earmuffs, or noise-canceling headphones when near loud noises. Keep the volume down when watching TV or listening to music and using earbuds or headphones. Get your hearing checked and ask your healthcare provider how to protect your hearing from noise. To learn more, visit cdc.gov/vital signs.
As a veteran of the United States military, I can finally get the opportunity to enjoy special events, like a date with my wife, or going out together with my family and friends, things that we couldn't afford, thanks to Vectix.
Every empty seat at a concert, a game, motorsports, or a play is a missed opportunity to say thanks to a veteran and service member. We can help. We can give our veterans a special event where they too can create their own cherished memories. Find out how by visiting www.vettix.org. That's www.vettix.org. Find out how you can make a difference in a veteran's life.
Ready!
Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Reach thousands of military families worldwide via Army Wife Network. ArmyWifeNetwork.com has a limited number of sponsorship opportunities available. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com/sponsorship or email us at info@ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Sherita Knobloch.
And I'm your co-host, Caroline Schaefer. Joining us tonight is author, actress, and sports performance coach, Karen Goller. Not only has Karen been training athletes since 1978 and adults since 1985, she has also educated thousands in the fitness and gymnastics industries with her books, articles, and in person. She has written more gymnastics books than anyone in the United States, and these books have been used as references by fitness experts and coaches to create countless training programs.
Kieran has also worked for the world-famous Olympic gymnastics coach, Bella Caroli, and was the first female camp director. Before earning a bachelor's degree, she trained as an EMT, physical therapist, and nutritionist. Plus, she has completed certifications as an EMTD, nutritional analyst, fitness trainer, and many USAG certifications and NSCA CSCS certification.
Welcome to the show, Karen.
Thanks so much for having me.
Sure. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and where you're calling from this evening?
Tell me about yourself. So many people ask that question. I do a variety of things, like you just said. I am an actor, author, and sports performance coach. I don't do any of those things 40 hours a week, so I do actually get my sleep. They're not every week, they're not every day, but they do come randomly, and I love it when they do come in. Sports performance training is mostly on the weekends, and I train competitive athletes. Most of my athletes are gymnasts, but I also love training boxers, skaters, skiers, golfers, pretty much any athlete of an individual sport. I'm also a writer. I've written about 20 books, and I've written countless articles, and I've done some presentations for USA Gymnastics and the NSCA. So that's about
wow.
it.
Oh, that's all. Okay. So where are you calling us from this evening? Where are you located?
I'm sitting in the middle of New Jersey in Old Bridge.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
So you kind of touched on all the books, and so you train all different kind of athletes. So exactly, can you walk us through what a sports performance coach does?
Good question. Everyone asks that question. It really depends on what the athlete needs. Normally, when an athlete first sees a CSCS, the coach, sports performance coach, or CSCS, evaluates the athlete to see what they need, but they also listen to the athlete and listen to the parent of the athlete or the coach of the athlete, whoever it is that's bringing them to you, for their goals. Because their goals and what they need compared to what the athlete wants are often two different things. So sometimes you kind of have to fill in both of those gaps. For example, a gymnast, 9 out of 10 of my gymnasts that come to me need more hip flexor strength, and they all need it because they're constantly growing. They need to keep that muscle group conditioned. But the gymnast themselves may say, I want to work on my cast handstand on uneven bars. You kind of have to meet both of those. Or a boxer might come in and say, I need more endurance. But then you watch videos of his last few matches and you see that his left punch is so much slower than his right. So you test his speed on both sides and you see, you know, it really is 50%, the left really is 50% of the right speed. So then you have to train his speed plus his endurance and give him, you know, everything he needs. And, of course, the first thing you always ask is what their goals are, because if they don't have any goals, they, in their eyes, they won't see progress, even though the coaches and CSCSs will see great progress. If the athlete doesn't have an actual goal, then they don't really know when they've, you know, reached success or reached a goal, or, you know, they don't really see the progress.
Sure. So you work not just with the athlete, but with, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you with it, but it's just like a team. It's really a team effort around the athlete, it sounds like.
Yes, yes. It's the CSCS. It's the coach. Sometimes, in many cases, with a lot of my gymnasts that come to me, it's the physical therapist or sports doctor or orthopedic doctor, because I do a lot of rehab stuff too, and I have a physical therapist I consult with. And also the parents, because they're the ones that are paying for it. They're the ones that stand on the side and watch the practice, and sometimes they hear what the coach is telling the athlete over and over and over again. So the parents are basically like the go-between, or, you know, sometimes letting you know what they keep hearing the coach say. So, yeah, it is a team around every athlete.
Wow. So the books that you've written, the 20 books, I'm guessing, are they all about fitness?
No, they're not all about fitness. Most of them are gymnastics. A good chunk of them are fitness. And then there is one about my life story.
Okay. So is there a particular book? So do you have a favorite of the books you've written? I'll ask that one first. What's your favorite book that you've written of the 20?
It's actually the series of Swing Set Fitness books. I wrote 3 of them. And the reason they're my favorite is because after my accident, when I started writing the Swing Set Fitness books, I started to actually do some of the exercises, and I made great gains with my physical rehabilitation. But also, those books are very special to me because my nephew, who's also a CSCS, was a big part of those books. We both worked on them. He tested the exercises, and he was the fitness model. And I did all of the writing and formatting of the books. So, yeah, those are my favorites.
Wow.
Mostly because my nephew was a big part of it. And then also because it did help with my physical rehabilitation from my accident.
Wow. Okay. So your nephew was a big part. And my next question is, is there a particular book that I think you might have just told me that would be particularly helpful for a military spouse with their busy schedule and everything? Is that the one you would recommend?
That one, if they enjoy working out outdoors, unless they put a swing in their house like I used to have, or the Legs Plus books. I did. I had a swing in my gym in my house down in Toms River. My ex-husband was a carpenter, and he installed it for me. So, yeah, I did Swing Set Fitness at home in the middle of the winter. But if you don't have that option, the Legs Plus workouts are very fast workouts. I do those right now, and they're about 10 minutes per workout. So you're not going to spend all day long at a gym. You don't have to go outside if you don't like being in the sun. And all you need are dumbbells, a medicine ball. One of the workouts has an exercise step involved in it. So, I mean, it's pretty easy to do that almost anywhere, too. So they're fast and they're full body workouts.
Okay, so in 10 minutes. So I can get this book. And that's fabulous. Okay, I just got my birthday list started. Okay, thank you for all of that.
Let me tell you one more bit about the Legs Plus workouts. A lot of them are only 6 or 7 workouts, 6 or 7 exercises. So when you're first starting the workouts, you just go through each exercise once, and you don't rest in between. That's the big part of it. But then if you've gotten through all 6 exercises and you feel like you can do another round of all 6 of those exercises, then go for it. And that might take 15 minutes. So,
okay. Well, I know Sharita was just talking about how she ran that 5K that was actually 4 miles this weekend and survived it as she comes up here. She may have some more questions for you about that.
I was super excited about that. But Karen, you shared with us kind of the what a little bit as far as the resources that you have available and your experiences, but what about those folks that struggle to get motivated? Like, why? Share with us the why. Why is it important to stay active, and what are your best tips for staying fit?
That's a good question. Well, you do feel better in general once you're involved in an exercise program. Many people say they feel happier. Many people say they feel they have more energy. If you're working out with friends, it's a social thing, and that of course adds to happiness. Sometimes if you have a goal, you're more motivated to work out. So say you have a high school reunion to go to, or say you're getting married or your daughter or son is getting married, then you have a goal, and that could be a good motivation to work out. Or if a doctor says you better lose weight, there's some motivation to work out. That usually doesn't work as well as, having an event that you need to go to. So most people, once they have a goal and they're in a program, they do feel a lot better, just physically and mentally. And it's just sometimes when your life is more regimented, you feel better. So if you plan your workouts in advance, say every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday after work, or I don't know, you know, two mornings a week or whatever, sometimes that regimented schedule also adds to your happiness and your sense of purpose, and, of course, your physical well-being.
Yeah, those are all great reasons, and I feel like I identify with a ton of those because I think, you know, I've been on this fitness experience, probably this is year 11, I think, and, you know, it's been not necessarily up and down, but definitely, you know, having babies and the weight gain that comes from that because my body is just programmed to, I think it just screams, store fat, make babies, and I'm like, chill out. You know, so a lot of those whys that you just shared are definitely some of mine. But as a military spouse, you know, there's challenges with that. So how can military spouses create a healthy lifestyle that fits into our busy lives? Do you have any special tips for perhaps young moms?
I would just say if there's another young mom in the neighborhood, try to do things together. Maybe go for a walk after the kids are in school or go to the gym together after the kids are in school. Or maybe if you pick the kids up from school, all of you take a trip to the local park, play with the kids, actually swing on the swings, stuff like that. I'd say, yeah, definitely share some of those experiences with other people in the neighborhood. It also keeps you motivated. And, of course, if you really want the quick, non-social 10-minute workout, go with something like Legs Plus. But keeping fitness social keeps people involved.
That's really great advice because I think as military spouses, sometimes, you know, we struggle with that social aspect as well. For me, as I shared at the beginning of the show, I have a 5-year-old and a almost 15-month-old. And so I've started to, like, involve my 5-year-old in my workouts. She can do stuff now. So we go hiking. Like yesterday, as a family, we all went to Tallulah Gorge here in Georgia, and we hiked down the stairs, which is I think it's 1,062 stairs total, and it's a 3-mile hike all the way around. And she held her own, and so we got to do that as a family. And then today, as a family, we hiked 3.25 miles around the reservoir. So we started involving. Wow. Our kids in that, and she, you know, she's like, why do we do this? You know, because we want to stay healthy and fit and take care of our bodies, and the 15-month-old just gets strapped in the hiking backpack and rides on my husband's back like a little baby rucksack. So we get creative and make it a priority for our family just because it's something fun we can do together as a family, but we're also burning calories and strengthening our bodies.
Right, that's nice.
Yeah, so that's really one thing I've learned that's really important. But, again, as military spouses, we travel a lot, and as I shared earlier, we're getting ready for PCS and across the country. So how do we stay healthy and active when living out of a hotel? Because my hotel that we'll be staying in Texas does not have a gym, and it's going to be hot. So I'm taking notes on this one.
You can travel with fitness bands. They're very light. I did that for years when I was traveling. Throw some fitness bands in your luggage and do a couple exercises per muscle group with those fitness bands in the hotel room. Because the room will be air-conditioned. It'll be quick. It'll be under 10 minutes. You'll still be, you know, moving your body around, so staying in, you know, pretty decent shape. And then start walking as well. I mean, if it's not too hot, if you can walk through that neighborhood or walk around the hotel, then do that as well. And many hotels have pools, so try to be active and, you know, go in the pool as well. If you can't actually swim, see if they have any of those pool noodles and hold on to it and just kick your legs and, you know, just move around in that pool. So between the fitness bands, the walking, and if they have a swimming pool, some of them have a little room with treadmills, some of them don't. You should be able to keep your body moving, you know,
right,
in more than enough until you get back home.
Yep, and that's kind of our no-plan plan. I'm looking forward to engaging that in just a couple weeks. So, Karen, thanks so much for sharing these great tips for the first part of our interview, but we're going to take a super quick break, and when we come back, let's talk about how you have overcame some pretty major challenges to your health and fitness,
okay.
And then also we're looking forward to you sharing about the projects you're involved in.
Oh, good. Okay.
Listeners, a quick reminder, if you're listening to our show live right now, we'd love for you to join us in our show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. Go ahead and comment on the show, ask questions of our guests, or just hang out and chat with our AWN core team. Head on over to twitter.com/ArmyWife Network. Be sure to use the hashtag ArmyWife to participate. All the links mentioned in the show tonight will be posted in our Twitter feed in the comments section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Funding a PCS when you're strapped for cash. This is a Money Minute from In Charge Education Foundation and MilitaryMoney.com. Here are three ways to minimize the financial impact of a PCS. Take advance pay. Concurrent to a PCS, the military authorizes advance pay of up to 3 months of basic pay less deductions. Essentially, this would be an interest-free loan that would be paid back through payroll deduction over the next 12 months. Borrow from the bank. You may be able to get an unsecured signature loan from your bank or credit union. Typically, these loans carry a relatively high interest rate, but your use of funds is unrestricted. Borrow from the TSP. This option should only be used as a last resort. However, if you must, a TSP participant could borrow as little as $1,000 and up to 50% of the value of the account or $50,000, whichever is less. The repayment period is between 1 to 5 years, and if the loan was to buy a home, the term could be extended up to 15 years. This Money Minute is made possible by InCharge Debt Solutions. Visit us online at www.incharge.org.
Want to expand your military spouse information arsenal? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers military family news and resources, experience and expert blogs, active social media, and much, much more. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Karen Goler, who's sharing with us how to stay fit and healthy as military spouses. Karen, you've managed to stay fit and healthy despite some extraordinary obstacles in your life. Like several years ago, you were diagnosed with cancer. How did you fight the odds and regain your health?
Oh, that was a long, battle. I don't know. It was a long process. Before I went into the surgery, they said I'd be bedridden for the rest of my life. So I basically had images of myself laying in a bed, like in a nursing home type situation, being really frail. When I woke up from the surgery, the doctors reminded me that I would be bedridden for the rest of my life. I went home. My leg was It was a cancer surgery. It was a malignant melanoma in my thigh. They took the tumor out, and they also took the lymph nodes out of my groin, basically the top of your leg. And when the lymph nodes are either damaged or missing, the fluid that the lymph nodes would normally filter fills up in that limb. So after the surgery and they took the lymph nodes out, my leg was as wide as my waist, literally. And I really did have to keep my leg elevated 24 hours a day for a very long time. After a few months, I went back into my gym, and the coaches that worked for me, I owned a gymnastics facility. The coaches that worked for me said, oh, no, you're not sitting on the side. I was actually sitting in the parent area watching. And one coach brought a chair over to the uneven bars and said, here, you can sit and coach at the same time. So I sat in a chair with my leg elevated and started coaching, and it was incredibly difficult. I kept, like, holding back the tears because I couldn't physically get involved. I couldn't, like, get in there and spot my gymnasts and stuff. So between getting back in the gym and having this one particular coach and good friend, he's actually a physical therapist now, tell me to, you know, just start coaching while I'm sitting. I mean, he's the one that got me back involved in my own gym. And then listening to the doctors, wearing compression stockings, and then waiting almost the full year that they advised me to wait before I started exercising, that helped me get my leg back to almost normal. It'll never be normal. And then from the point at the 9-month mark, when I couldn't stand not working out, I started doing very light exercise. And then to this day, I exercise when I can to keep the circulation moving and to try to stay in shape. And when I'm home, I have my leg elevated. Or if I go out to work, say on a film set, I wear a compression stocking. So it's been a long process. The maintenance will never end once I lose the discipline of maintaining basically a healthy leg. Then it will start to swell, but hopefully I will never lose that ability to stay disciplined and elevate, use compression, and, you know, exercise appropriately for, you know, my circulation. So, yeah, it's been a long process, but I'm doing it.
Wow, that's so inspirational, and thank you for sharing that. I'm sure it's really inspired me and a lot of other folks.
Thanks.
But that's not all. That's not all that you've had to face. So back in 2000, you also suffered injuries from an accident. Tell us more about that.
That was a difficult day because I was actually, at the time, I was doing the advertising for Gold's Gym during the day. That was my full-time job. And then I was coaching gymnastics at night, like 4 or 5 nights a week. So I was working about 60 hours a week. One morning I was on my way to, actually it wasn't the morning, I was actually on my way to the gym, so it was the afternoon. I was on my way to the gym, I was walking out of the building I lived in, and a construction board hit me in the head and basically crushed my spine. So I had fractures in 2 different areas of my spine, and I had a lot of herniated and bulging discs. So I ended up being disabled. I couldn't work anymore. And the doctors told me don't lift anything over 5 pounds, and I was in an insane amount of pain. My neck was constantly spasming. The gym about 6 months later called me in to do some consulting work for a couple of hours here and there. And I ended up starting to write books very shortly after the accident because I was so upset that I couldn't work and I desperately wanted to stay involved in gymnastics and fitness. So that's when I started writing books. I had no intention of writing books until after that accident. And I still have damage to my spine to this day, but I've really come a long way as far as the rehab. So, you know, if you saw me walking down the street, you wouldn't realize how much damage I actually have. So.
Holy cow. I'm so glad you're such a fighter, Karen. Because
Thanks.
With those events that most of us would view as catastrophic, that's what I want to know. How did you overcome those obstacles and go on to achieve all the successes with writing 20 books and being such a famous coach and actress and everything that you've had in your life?
I kind of feel like I didn't have a choice. You know, staying on the couch is not really an option for me, I guess. It's not in my personality. In the beginning, after the cancer surgery, I did believe that that's the way my life would be, bedridden for the rest of my life. But then as little things happened over the course of time, such as the day that the coach, Dean, handed, you know, put a chair out there for me and said, you know, these are your gymnasts, get back out here, kind of, you know, things like that that helped me along the way. It's just, thankfully, you know, I've come to live basically a normal life. I don't know. I guess it's just in my personality to keep going.
So Karen, would you say that so part of your recovery, and as you were just saying, it's just who you are, has acting been a part of that, and has that helped you recover? And what are some of the acting projects that you've been involved in?
The acting has not helped me recover in the least bit, but I do enjoy it.
Oh, okay.
I have to be honest.
That's good. Yeah, be honest.
And, you know, I do enjoy it. I started acting when I was coaching less. I had a really good consulting job 5 years ago, and the gym ended up, they didn't really want a serious program, so they said they didn't need me. So there went, you know, pretty good financial situation. So I always wanted to do voice work, voiceover work, but
sure.
when I started to look for voiceover roles, I couldn't find any. So I started to find film roles and background roles and stuff like that and all sorts of information on acting classes and just the whole film and TV world rather than the voiceover world. So I started to apply for some of those roles, and most of the roles that I got in the first year were background roles. And then I started getting speaking roles, and it seems to have evolved from there. I mean, I've learned a tremendous amount in the past 5 years. I still have a lot more to learn because 5 years in an industry really does not make you a master in the industry. And I'm really enjoying the whole process, but unfortunately, you never know when you're going to work again when you're an actor.
Sure.
So you can't always rely on it as your main income unless you have a recurring role like on a TV show or unless you're doing a movie and you're a principal actor in the movie and you know it's going to last 6 months. When you're at this point where I'm at, where you've done a good number of projects, but you still don't have an agent yet and you're not sure when you're going to work again, you have to keep the other things that help with your income. You have to keep those things going. So, but I do enjoy it, and I do want to continue doing, film and TV work. It's not like a 40-hour work week for most of us that are in the industry.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
So do you have any upcoming projects that you want to share with us, whether they're speaking engagements, any roles, acting roles, or books that we can watch out for?
Well, yeah. I recently worked on a TV show called Scene of the Crime, and I'm not allowed to say that much about it, but the role that I played was almost the opposite of who I really am as a person, so it was a very big challenge for me trying to think the way this woman thought and do some of the things that she did, and just trying to be this character that I really despise in real life. I mean, she did things that would make me say, oh, my God, she's the worst person in the world. And I actually had to be that character. And that's going to be airing in the summer, and I'm sure I'll be posting more about it as it gets closer and as, the production, allows me to start posting. And, of course, when it's ready to air, I'll post the airing date. But that's the most recent role I had, and that was definitely the most challenging for me. But I enjoyed the challenge. It was hard, but I really enjoyed the challenge. So lately I've been looking for more challenging roles. So we'll see what comes up next. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say it sounds like that fits who you are, right? The fighter in you.
That's true. Good point. Yeah.
So where can our listeners go to learn more about you and your projects? And I know we shared some stuff at the beginning, like your website. Is that the best place for them to go?
Yes.
To find out about you?
Yes. KarenGohler.com. It's just my name spelled out, .com. If you Google me and you want to know about how I'm involved in fitness or sports, just Google Karen Gohler Fitness or Karen Gohler Gymnastics, or if you want to read my articles, Karen Gohler Articles. If you want the Legs Plus book, it's legsplus.com. That brings you right to the Amazon page. Or the Swing Set Fitness books, it's swingsetfitness.com. That'll bring you to the Swing Set Fitness book on Amazon. And if you want to see what I've done as far as film and TV, you can type my name into imdb.com, and you can see my acting resume.
That's really cool. I'm going to have to do that.
Go ahead.
I was just saying I'm kind of all over the Internet. If you just want to find out, just type my name into Google, and you'll find me. I'm on Facebook.
Yeah,
I
was noticing that earlier today because I was, doing some research and like, okay. What all this is about. I was like, this gal has done it all. Like, she has got expertise in, 14 areas. So it's just very cool. Your experience just covers the wide, wide gamut. And we just, Karen, I just thank you for joining us this evening and sharing about your life as an author, sports performance coach, cancer survivor, actress, and your many, many projects.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Great. Well, listeners, we also thank you so much for being with us tonight. Be sure to join us next week, Monday, May 7th, 2018, when our featured guest will be Michael Cole, joining us to discuss Picnic, the personal family assistant. It's going to be another encouraging and empowering show. You don't want to miss it.
In the meantime, join us on www.armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, or follow along on any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wives Network's core team signing out.
Thank you for tuning into Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services. And inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.